morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Stethoscope, a podcast focused on hospice palliative care. My name is Linda Meeks. I'm one of the education facilitators at the North Simcoe Muskoka Hospice Palliative Care Network. And today, I would like to welcome our clinical manager, Rachel LaPonce. Good morning, Rachel.
Morning, Linda.
Thank you for being a guest on our show again and bringing us some valuable information. And what article are you going to be reviewing with us today?
So today I decided to choose a topic around advanced care planning. So the article that I'm going to discuss is called Factors Which Influence Hospital Doctors' Advanced Care Plan Adherence. And it's dated May 2020, and it's from the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management. The authors of this are Denise Craig, Robin Ray, Desley Harvey, Mandy Sinkor, and they're a combination of psychiatry, psychiatrists, people with their PhD, and someone with their Bachelor of Science. So it's basically talks about advanced care planning and are there different variables that impact whether or not a physician in a hospital will adhere to the advanced care plans of what an individual has spelled out.
And so could you tell us why you chose this article to review today?
Yeah, I chose this article simply because I feel it's so important to highlight the use of advanced care planning for all individuals. In Western countries, advances in medicine and socioeconomic conditions have increased the longevity and the likelihood of death from chronic illnesses rather than infectious diseases. So it's more of we are aware that we're nearing end of life because of these chronic conditions. So we have the ability to be able to talk about our goals, talk about our wishes, and put some plans into place. The World Health Organization indicates that the top three causes of death in high-income countries are lifestyle-related, ischemic heart disease, stroke, and dementia. Because of this, there is a need to advocate for advanced care planning and to adhere to it.
Correct. Advanced care planning is so important. So can you just give us a highlight or tell us what this article actually discusses?
Sure. I first want to just point out, you know, this article talks about living wills, advanced directives. And here in Canada, we have advanced care planning, which basically is talking about our wishes, our goals, without making specific directives on treatment plans and treatment things that you would or would not want done. However, in some places like Australia, all Australian states, which is where this article talks about at some points, recognize differing forms of estate planning known as advanced directives. And they actually have health directions in their documents that refer to medical treatment in circumstances where they're unable to provide or consent to. So it's a little bit more specific in certain other countries than what we do or we recognize here in Canada. So I did want to point that out. In Ontario, there are some official recognition for living wills, but living wills are not a legal entity in Ontario. Only the component about signing a power of attorney for personal care and who that delegate would be for decision-making to carry out someone's healthcare wishes is what we recognize here in Ontario. So when I'm speaking about the article and speaking about adhering to patients' wishes, I just want to be clear that because this isn't a Canadian article, there will be some differences. And here in Ontario, because we are in Ontario, we recognize the assignment of a power of attorney for that decision making. And when there are decisions to be made and that person lacks capacity, that power of attorney or substitute decision maker will speak up when there's decisions to be made. There's no adherence to pre-assigned answers to questions as far as treatment decisions here in Ontario.
Okay, that's good to know while you're going through the article. And what did you actually like about this article?
So this article describes factors associated with hospital doctors adhering to the written wishes and the directions of patients who prepared for their decision-making in advance. This study highlighted the potential usefulness of advanced care planning despite some of the limited application of it in certain situations, and sometimes the ambiguous content that failed to address the needs of the individual, or so the physician felt it failed to meet the needs for the physicians that were treating them. What I liked in the article was that an individual's rights to autonomy and to maximally participate in their healthcare decision making is a fundamental human right. And it really is reinforced in this article. It helps reflect on modern medicine and the abilities of modern medicine to provide extended life for us within the parameters of what we would want or what we would not want done that provides quality in our lives. I think it's just very relevant, and that's what I liked about it.
So you've alluded to in our conversation so far what advanced care planning is. Could you, for the audience, give us a summary of what advanced care planning is?
Sure. So advanced care planning is a way to help you think through and talk about your values and wishes in relation to your future healthcare. People who think through and talk about what is important to them can have a greater quality of life and are more likely to get the care that they want. Advanced care planning can help your family feel more able and less anxious about making your wishes and medical choices known to your healthcare team if you cannot.
And why is this article so relevant to you or to practice? Can you explain that for us?
Sure. So ethically, doctors are required to incorporate known advanced care planning into decision-making, or they risk treating in a manner that is at odds with the patient's wish. Given the potential complexity of legal decision-making around medical decisions, hospital doctors may perceive a conflict between the clinical component, the legal component, and the ethical decision-making, which impacts advanced care planning for patients. There is a recent emergence of consumer expectations or expectations of patients around the ability to have their wishes known, have their goals of care known. And in doing so, it makes it a little bit more complicated if they have not reflected in advance or written some things down on paper, or even had a discussion with the person who's going to be making these decisions for them. So by doing advanced care planning, it sometimes provides a bit of clarity to the situation, and advanced care planning can help physicians who are putting treatment plans into place, provide them with some informed information to help them guide the family in their dialogue.
So are doctors considered key stakeholders in the fulfillment of advanced care plans? What's your thoughts or the article's thoughts on that?
So the article states that physicians are key stakeholders in advanced care planning fulfillment. So the factors associated with hospital doctors' adherence will be critical to the plan's effectiveness. So because physicians in hospital are the ones that are providing the medical interventions, you know, for them to be aware of what that individual's wishes and goals and what their advanced care planning is, you know, it's important for them to be aware and knowledgeable about those important features of that person's wishes so that they can effectively roll out and put some medical plans into place that are in alignment with that individual's goals and wishes. So they are stakeholders, because without that knowledge, they maybe share information or moving the medical care or the medical decision-making in one direction that is not in alignment with the person's wishes.
Right, that totally makes sense. What would you say was the objective of this article?
So the objective of this article was to review research that had been done or articles that had been done that talked about doctors' adherence to advanced care planning. So this particular article reviewed different articles related to that to see if there was any commonalities.
And how many articles were used as sources in this review?
So I found this quite interesting. They started off with a huge number of records that were identified, 2,746. They then removed any duplicate articles from that, so it brought the number down to 2,240. From there, they excluded some other ones that didn't meet the criteria. Then they further removed others that didn't meet eligibility for a number of different reasons. So what they ended up with was 27 articles out of that 2,746 that they had originally streamed.
Oh, that's certainly significant and amazing, actually. So I understand from reading the article that there are several themes that arose from the literature that are identified as factors associated with hospital doctors actually adhering to written advance care plans of inpatients. Can we talk about some of those?
Sure.
So the first question I have is, how do the attributes of doctors impact their adherence to advanced care planning?
So by the attributes of doctors, I think they're referring to where those doctors typically sort of work. So doctors are not a homogenous group, but rather they're individuals who reflect on varied experiences and influences that they've had in their particular practices. So participants that they were looking at in this study, and does the attributes of these physicians impact their adherence to advanced care planning? What they found was the participants were typically recruited from palliative care, geriatric medicine, medical oncology, renal clinics, emergency departments, and intensive care units, and respiratory specialties. Because if you think of where advanced care planning is used, those are a lot of the areas in which you will see them come into play.
And how does the specialty of the physician impact adherence to advanced care planning?
So doctor specialty, according to this article, has been associated with variable advanced care planning adherence. ICU doctors were the focus on a number of the studies in this, and because of the nature of their involvement in end-of-life decision-making, and therefore their status as key stakeholders in advanced care planning adherence. Studies were found that generally ICU doctors found advanced care planning potentially useful and influential, depending on the applicability of it to the situation. End-of-life decisions within the ICU were perceived as predominantly medical ones. Doctors appeared to be influenced by the qualitative information within the advanced care plan. So if it was vague, if it was too specific or not relatable to the end-of-life decision that was at or the medical intervention that was being addressed, then they found it wasn't quite as relatable. Illness, complexity, and uncertain prognosis associated within the ICU could be a variable that influenced physicians' adherence to the use of it in ICU. Advanced care plans were often unavailable in emergency departments. So that's why they found that adherence to them wasn't as relevant in those situations, because when you think about the use of an advanced care plan and someone going into emerge for an acute issue, probably the two are not related. And there's been no reflection on advanced care planning for someone who ends up in the ICU for something acute that could be life-threatening. One paper highlighted additional complexities faced by anesthetists around the idea of not for resuscitation, because a lot of times if someone's going into surgery, what the study indicated was they suspended those do not resuscitate goals of care because they were going in for surgery. And obviously the person would have to be on life-sustaining interventions to be able to have the surgery. So it was a bit of a contraindication. And so they did bring that up in this article. What else did they say here? One study found specialties were the strongest predictors of associated legal knowledge with palliative care and geriatric doctors, scoring significantly better than emergency department physicians, renal clinic physicians, respiratory specialists around advanced care planning. So they felt that those that were working with seniors had a better knowledge of advanced care planning.
Does the seniority of physicians impact adherence to advanced care planning?
So doctor seniority data presented mixed results. Senior doctors appeared to be least likely to offer vigorous treatment. Senior doctors were more likely to offer full treatment, including ICU doctors, if it provided symptom relief, and CPR and treatment if appropriate. In one study, they found what they reported was that attending doctors, and those are doctors who have completed the residency, were more able than fellow residents, those are doctors undertaking specialty training, to identify correct code status for those who have had living wills. So if you remember, I talked about living wills, and in certain countries, living wills are recognized as direct statements of what they would and would not want done. And so if someone in one of those countries where it was recognized had in their documents, I do not want CPR done, then the adherence to that advanced care plan in those countries would be, you know, they would appropriately code their status as do not resuscitate. Here, of course, in Ontario, we don't have living wills or recognized specific statements such as that. However, in our situation, if it was about a conversation about code status, they would go to the substitute decision maker and pose that question to the substitute decision maker and ask that person to answer the question, what would your loved one want in this situation? Would they want to be resuscitated if they were faced with that? So they wouldn't take it as I've pre-written, I don't want CPR. They would speak to the power of attorney or the substitute decision maker, and that substitute decision maker in each of those unique situations would speak on behalf of the person who was incapable.
And can you talk about a physician's attitude toward advanced care planning and how this actually impacts advanced care planning adherence in the study?
So four studies indicated that doctors perceived advanced care planning as a guide to decision maker. And so I think this is an important key. It's a guide. One of these suggested that there's potential usefulness for advanced care planning as a guide. However, it does have serious limitations. Two studies described doctors stating that patients should be encouraged to complete their advanced care planning in order to guide future decision making. One study noted that 50% of doctors reported completing their own advanced care planning. So I thought that was interesting as well.
Does the content of the advanced care plan assist in physician adherence?
100%. So the content that specified treatment decisions was seen as not helpful compared to patient outcome goals. And so if we think of how advanced care planning in Ontario is focused on more of a reflection on wishes and goals, versus specific statements of what you would want done and what you wouldn't want done in certain situations. It's about an overall picture of reflection of what would provide you with quality of life. This article supports that. And so what they have found that when the advanced care planning content is too specific to treatment decisions, that it doesn't provide any helpfulness at all because it can't be transitioned or transferred to every situation. Whereas if the content of the advanced care planning has more goals, wishes, what provides quality to me, what would be important to me, then those outcome goals, the end goals of what you're looking for when treatment is implemented, it just provides more valued information. One study described explicit advanced care planning directions being associated with greater plan adherence. Another, however, revealed that participants wanted clear and recent information within the advanced care planning. So to me, that sort of indicates that if your advanced care planning was done too far in advance to something acute taking place or a change in the person's level of wellness, then it makes it less relevant. What they're saying is when the advanced care planning documentation has been done fairly recently within a few years and is really relevant to the place in which that person is in their level of wellness at that point in time, it makes it more usable, makes it more acceptable as a guide to helping make decisions for treatments. So one study revealed participants wanted clear and recent information within an advanced care planning, and similarly, patients' instructions were said to be vague, contradictory, and difficult to interpret when they were very specific. It is challenging sometimes when advanced care planning or living wills that are utilized in other countries are too specific. They can't be transitioned or related to all circumstances in which the person is required to be hospitalized. What they're saying in the article is that when the advanced care planning is more focused on the outcomes of goals, that it makes it more relatable and more user-friendly and more understandable in order to be able to put some medical decisions in place, because you're looking at what the outcome is, what the patient's wishes for the outcome are. And so you can, as physicians, they can help with providing interventions that will allow the individual to get to that outcome goal, versus focusing on, I want this no matter what, or I don't want this no matter what, because there's so much variability in those concrete statements. Advanced care planning varies in legal standings from one country to another. The format that it takes and the content all appear to provide variances in the different study results. So because there's differences from one country to another and what is acknowledged, acceptable, what is legal, what is not, that's one of the limitations of this study, is when they talked about adherence. They did talk about written personal values information, that all the studies described the addition of patients' personal information was very helpful in leading doctors to make medical decisions. It increased their confidence in their decision making when the advanced care planning had those written personal values incorporated into the advanced care planning. And here in Ontario, we strongly encourage advanced care planning to have those personal values, those personal wishes incorporated into them, so that your power of attorney and your substitute decision maker is very aware of what your personal values and information and wishes would be, so that they can relay that to the doctors that are involved in the care team. So the way we do it in Ontario is spoken to in this document, of how physicians have increased confidence when that information is present in the advanced care planning. So I think we're doing it the right way here in Ontario.
What was the takeaway from the article? Something that rings true when you think about your palliative care work.
This review was intended to inform approaches to improve the effectiveness of advanced care planning by scoping what is known of the perspective of hospital doctors. Hospital doctors make critical decisions in complex circumstances, including ambiguity about patients' wishes, directions, and outcome goals, and confusion about the legal effects of that. Overall, the study found doctors appear supportive of the concept of incorporating their patients' wishes into the decision-making. In practice, inpatients might find advanced care planning implementation is dependent on the specialty and the seniority of the doctors, or a doctor's legal knowledge and interpretation of the advanced care plan contents, and their perceived applicability of the advanced care planning to the medical situation in which they're faced with. Collectively, the article found that the issues of advanced care planning adherence from this perspective of hospital doctors does require some more investigation, but generally speaking, they're finding that if the advanced care planning incorporates the patient's wishes, goals, and important concepts along those lines, instead of being very content focused on what you would want done and what you wouldn't want done, that they find it's a lot more useful.
And before we go, could you quickly summarize some main highlights from this article?
Sure. Advanced care planning is intended to inform treatment decisions when a person is unable to fully participate in decision making, yet they are hypothetical in nature. So, you know, you're doing them in advance in case this happens in the future, or when this happens in the future, you know, I want you to be aware of what my goals and wishes would be. You know, we're planning in advance. So we're not making those decisions concretely in advance, but our wishes inform the decision making when the decisions need to be made. Doctors often express a positive attitude towards the concept of advanced care planning. However, these hypothetical plans were preferred only in combination with medical decision making. So there has to be weighted the benefits of taking it as wishes and goals versus taking it as carved in stone, this is the decision to be made. So they are hypothetical in nature and have to be looked upon as such with every unique situation in which you're calling upon what those patients' goals would be, to have a conversation at that moment in time and make decisions in that moment in time. Positive or negative attitudes towards advanced care planning are reflected in whether or not doctors use the documents or find them to be applicable. Some doctors express concerns that people completing their advanced care planning documents may not completely understand the medical or healthcare choice that could be a consequence of making that decision in the moment. And so that's where I think here in Ontario, the way that we do our advanced care planning is very helpful, because we are not making concrete decisions in advance to anything. What we do is we make decisions in the moment using our power of attorney or our substitute decision maker. And that power of attorney and substitute decision maker is aware of what our wishes are, what our goals for the outcome would be. So they can inform the medical team of what our wishes would be, so that the decisions that are made, medical interventions that are done, are in alignment with what our goals and the outcomes of those interventions would be, that they're in alignment with what is a priority for us for quality of. Generally, we assume that patients are experts in their lived experience and hospital doctors are experts in medical conditions, not necessarily the patient's experience. Although competent adults have the right to refuse treatment within an advanced care planning, with some variability in different countries, of course, doctors reported a preference for patients to state acceptable outcome goals, which doctors could consider during medical decision making. So that basically is saying that they don't appreciate the concrete decision making that is done in advance to an acute illness or acute episode of something that has occurred. What they do appreciate, though, is when the advanced care planning, again, and I've said this already, has in it what that person's preferred outcome goals are. They find that that is more reliable and more important to have an advanced care plan, and that helps feed into the decision making and helps plan the medical interventions that are going to be carried out. Can I just use one more opportunity here to really just reiterate again what the definition of advanced care planning is? So, absolutely. Here in Ontario, advanced care planning is a way to help you think through and talk about your values and wishes in relation to your future healthcare. People who think through and talk about what is important to them can have a greater quality of life and are more likely to get the care that they want. Advanced care planning can help your family feel more able and less anxious about making your wishes and medical choices known to your healthcare team if you cannot. And so, you know, this article basically speaks to physicians adhering to care plans, and they've specifically indicated that when the care plan has incorporated the goals and the wishes and that personal information that is so important that makes your care plan unique to you, that they find that that is more informed and will help them guide the treatment plan that's going to be carried out.
Well, Rachel, we've ended our time together today. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. That was a very relevant article to the focus of hospice palliative care. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Linda. Happy to join.